Thank you. I'm expecting Legislator Runk, but I also do know that he has a hard stop at 7. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. Welcome to the Laws and Rules and Government Services Committee meeting. Clerk Mahler, can you please take attendance?
Absolutely. Chairwoman Bartels.
Present.
Deputy Chair Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner. I saw.
Okay.
And Legislator Runk, you have 4 members present, 1 absent.
Great. Thank you very much. Hopefully everyone has had a chance to review the meeting minutes and the transcript from September 13th. I'll entertain a motion to accept them.
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Roberts, seconded by Legislator Heppner. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of accepting the transcript and minutes? Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, we have, hopefully everyone had a chance to look at the department budgets, and today we'll be beginning our discussion of the department budget, the department budgets in detail. I see we have most with us today. We were set to start with Board of Elections. See Commissioner Quigley. I don't see Commissioner Dittus yet. Are we expecting both? Commissioner
Quigley? Ashley should be getting on momentarily. I think she's just getting home shortly.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is move forward to Weights and Measures. Director DeGasparis is here with us. And we can start with Weights and Measures and we'll come back to Board of Elections.
That's good.
Welcome, Director.
Thank you. My budget basically hasn't changed in the last few years. We raised the gas this year just because of the volatility of the market. So we raised that $1,000. And that also includes $500 for my, it's called program supplies. It's what we use for picking up gas samples from the state mandated testing. And then on the revenue side, we raised $1,000 because we adjusted for market signed up for the item pricing waiver last year. So we adjusted it accordingly to that. So I think we'll be on target with everything that we put in there.
Okay, I'll open the floor to committee members. Do we have any questions for Director DeGasparis? Everyone had a chance to look at the budget. Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for joining us, Director. If we have any further questions, we will reach out. And
feel free to call, no problem.
And thank you for all your work.
All right, thank you.
Okay, have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, moving back to, I see Commissioner Dittus joined us. So we have Commissioners Dittus and Quigley with us. Maybe the two of you, welcome. Thank you for being here. And maybe the two of you could start with an overview of your budget, highlighting the changes over last year's budget.
Ashley, you want to start?
Sure, I'll go first. So next year is, it's an even numbered year. So our budget's always a bit bigger in those cycles, anticipating larger primaries and larger activity in the general election. There are a couple of big changes that are coming down that are effective starting next year. The biggest is that we'll be counting absentee ballots before the election day. That'll start on the first day or the day before the first day of early voting. We'll be canvassing those ballots to release those results on election night. That's a really big change. And also the state will be launching their process for tracking absentee ballots. So that's going to involve more work on our end to make sure that they're getting that critical data so that voters can track their ballot where it is from application time to us releasing it. The whole way through, they'll be able to see where their ballot is up through us looking at the ballots. If it has to go into a cure status, which is a newer process that we've been doing since last year, going through every ballot, looking for a deficiency so that voters can correct them within the prescribed timeframe. So that's a very large change for us. We'll also be working through the implementation of automatic voter registration, getting everything situated for that. That's going to increase workload tremendously on the clerical side of things, which is why we're asking for two more full-time clerical staff members. John, do you want to talk about the voting system?
Yeah, so I would just touch on, we did submit for a capital project. Regardless of the title that it may be given now, we haven't selected a vendor for new machines, but rather what we're going to do at the beginning of the year, should we get approval, is try and get our multiple vendors that we're going to be seeking to replace the voting systems with to come to do some public hearings and do some public displays so that our legislators and anybody else who like to have an opportunity to can come and sort of critique and give input for the couple different vendors that we are looking at to replace our voting systems. It is getting to the point where it's going to be well needed. I do not want to switch out our voting systems in a gubernatorial election. I don't want to risk anything going wrong during implementation of new systems. So we want to save this for what we want to do is purchase the machines next year with the anticipation of implementing them in the 2023 election cycle. That way they're in-house, we're training people on them and they're getting familiar with them and then we're good to go. And currently from three different vendors that we've looked at, the range is anywhere from 1.2 to I believe 1.6 million for our machines, given our current poll site structure of 83 poll sites and early voting equipment.
Are there any questions from the committee? Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Two questions. First has to do with the upcoming move to Hurley Avenue, which is the follow-up to my second question. It was my understanding that, we were several months behind in moving into the new location. Is that accurate between the two of you?
It is my understanding that we are, and I believe Deputy County Exec John Milgram's on the call too and can speak more specifically to that.
Go ahead.
Last notice we had, and I think they're still trying to assess, although I drove by, they're doing construction today. They're hoping to have us in by March or April. Obviously, there will be no charge for the first few months of the lease. So that's because of a supply chain issue for the materials necessary for the build out.
Right. Copy that. And then that bleeds into my second question on your new staff. Where do you plan to put them? Because it was my understanding that the rat infested, underwhelming offices that you're currently in were not big enough to house your current staff. So I'm very interested in finding out where you're going to house new staff.
I mean, I think we would anticipate that this new staff would be moving into the new space with us. So even if it's offset delayed or not, implemented until we're in the new space, I think we can survive the first 3 months of the year.
But then, due respect, and this is more operational than budgetary, but it goes into whether or not the legislature should grant you two new staff. Then you're going to be starting them in March, April, which is going to put you behind in early voting and absentee voting for the primary, isn't it? I mean, that was one of your main arguments on why we needed to vote on new space in July of the previous year was because there's too much going on in the spring to be able to move into new space. I can't imagine there's enough time in that time period to be training new staff.
It'll definitely put us behind, but it's not something we haven't been able to overcome before.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Can I ask for clarification on that? Are you saying that you're going to delay the hiring of them to match with the move into the new building?
Out of all honesty, I think that would be the best fit, given that we don't have the footprint for them in our current space. We do need that staff, but I wouldn't put them in a place where we're not able to function.
they might be able to function in the back conference room. You know, all things considered, we have that back room for a variety of multi-purpose uses. So we have put temporary workstations for part-time staff members in a variety of locations in the current space. It's certainly not ideal for someone to have their full-time space at a standing counter or in a back conference room that is used for commissioners' meetings, sorting ballots, things like that. But if that was the case from January to March or April, it would work for us, and we could start onboarding those folks.
Any other questions for the commissioners? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you both for being here again. This will be the mantra through all the departments. If additional questions come up, we'll be sure to reach out to you and know that we're heading into the budget process through Ways and Means. So you may be hearing from us either as a committee or as individuals again, but thank you for taking the time to give us the presentation today.
Thank you. Our door is always open. So if you have any questions, you know where to find us.
Okay. Thank you both. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. We're moving on to Insurance Officer Whitney in the Insurance Department.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Again, could you give us a presentation, a brief overview of your budget and highlighting any significant changes over last year that we need to be focused on?
Sure. So we are broken down into three components. Two of them are with the general fund, and that's disability and unallocated insurances. Those are two different ones. They sit within the general fund. And then the S fund is the workers' comp program. So I usually address them that way. So I'll start with the self-insurance. That's the biggest one that we have. That's the workers' comp program. And we have no staffing changes or anything like that for the upcoming budget. Due to pandemic, I had reduced it from 14% down. The 2021 budget was 14% down from the 2020 budget, just because we were anticipating so many changes with everything happening. And so we actually went down last year in the budget process by 14%. I'm creeping it back up for 2022 to get the monies back, just to kind of get a little bit more where we should be. But because we did lack a lot of activity in the COVID, the workers' comp program we were able to handle it with less money because there were not as many court hearings, there were not as many doctor visits, et cetera. So other than that kind of a thing, there's really not much of a change. We did renew our contract with our third party administrator, that's NCA Comp. We've had them now, we went with them in beginning in 2014, and now we just, we're in the process with a contract right now. And other than that, there's no changes that I can think of tell you for the self-insurance part. General fund, the disability piece of it, there's really no changes there either. It's a very small budget. It's like 100,000 or maybe 170. It's a very small budget. It's just for the, when somebody loses time from work, New York State says that the benefits that they can receive are $34 a day. So it's a very tiny benefit that's administered through the county on behalf of Ulster County employees and Ulster County College Community employees. And then the 1910 budget, which is the unallocated, really not too much changing there either, except settlements. We asked for more in settlements this time because of the court backlog that was happening over the last year and a half. So what we do each year is we reach out to our defense counsel to find out what we think is ripening, what's going to settle in the coming year. We start that when we start the budget process, like from May and June, and then we kind of right before we finalize the budget in July or August or whenever that's getting done, we just make sure we are on top of what might be settling. So we would take our deductible, which is 75,000 at this point, and if we have, let's say, 10 settlements coming in, we would multiply the 10 times the 75,000 to come up with a number, and then we would probably add on another certain amount. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but we add on more for the smaller type of settlements, like things you know, somebody's fence gets hit by one of our trucks or, you know, little tiny things like that. So that line went up, settlements went up just a little bit. And we were, you know, just we're really postponing things because of the COVID as far as settlements. That's what I'm seeing. So I, other than that, I don't really see any changes too much. I mean, it's not nothing notable other than that.
Can I just ask for a clarification and then I'll open the floor. In terms of the COVID, seeing less, obviously courts weren't open, so you're seeing less activity in the courts, but are you anticipating that there was a backlog that now is going to get cleared, or because people were less active and were more homebound, there were also actually really less claims?
It was both. It was actually both, because there were less people out and about, so there were less accidents generally. Yeah. And the courts were backing up. So yeah, it really is both.
Thank you. Does anyone else on that committee have any questions? All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming and taking some time to talk about the budget. And again, like previously stated, we'll reach out if we have any further questions, if we need to have you back.
Great. Thank you very much. Have thank a good night.
You. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. We're moving on to Comptroller Gallagher. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And good evening, everyone. Yeah, could you please give us a report of your budget and highlighting the differences, particularly what's changed year over last year?
Happy to do so. So overall, there's a $173,000 change, actually $173,635 increase in the proposed budget. The lion's share of that increase is adding back the Director of Internal Audit and Control, which we offered to let go of for the 2021 budget because of COVID. And our work has definitely been impacted by not having that person. So the audit team, the senior auditors have been very busy doing things like bank reconciliations, filling in on claims auditing, generating quarterly reports. And, you know, without that other person here, it means that less internal audits are getting done, which is how the taxpayers actually save money and increase revenues. So I think this position will more than pay for itself in the long run. And it's something that you should really consider putting back in. In addition, there's a couple of other substantial changes I want to bring to your attention. One is that we implemented a new software. Thank you for budgeting that last year. It was $20,000 in contractual for software, and we're only going to need $7,000 next year because the implementation phase will be done. So there'll be a drop in that line. We have asked to add in additional contractual services on the legal side and then in the miscellaneous bucket. And we really learned the hard way this year during our audit of the UCRRA that unfortunately at times this office might need legal and we might need some other support. I'm going to give you an example. We actually have come to the place where we may need to test compost samples. I never thought I'd be talking about that, but you know, that is the kind of cost that we just don't have the budget for right now. In addition, I want to point out that the website that we use right now has been around for a really long time. I don't think we're going to do that. We're going to need an additional website, but it's something that we've looked at little pieces of. We've been working with IS on some improvements there. So, you know, legal, environmental, and financial needs is why you see that line, those two lines increased. Memberships are up. That's because membership to GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association, the Association of Local Government Auditors, et cetera, allows us to get reduced cost training for the CPA and the other members of this team that have to meet a certain number of CPE credits every year. So the memberships are up, but you know, office supplies are down by 1,000. So those are some of the big changes. I hope that really explains what we're talking about. There is an increased travel budget. I'm hoping that if Tyler Technologies has training, I can send my staff to New World training. I myself have had zero, and I don't think that's the best way to go. And we also found that our collaboration, for example, with the New York State Treasurers Association, very helpful in terms of looking at how we account for ARPA, and other collaborations that the treasurers have. And we'd love to be able to go to their meetings on a regular basis. So I'm happy to answer any questions you guys have, but those are the big overviews. Big changes are reduction in software, adding the DAC, and adding in some miscellaneous contractual. Thanks.
Hey, does anyone have any questions for the comptroller? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for presenting. We'll reach out if we do come up with further questions, and I'm sure we'll see you through the budget process and ways and means as well.
Great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. And the last of our budget presentations tonight, County Attorney Johnson, thank you for joining us. And same goes. If you could just give us an overview, talk about primarily what's different over the previous budget.
Great. Thank you, Chairwoman Bartels and members of the committee for the opportunity to give you a quick overview of the legal office that I'm sure you guys all know what we do here and do very, very well, I think. As you can see, there are two changes, one major in terms of dollar figures that I've asked for, and I'll explain to you why that is. And it's professional services legal. As you notice, that's $300,000. As you guys are all aware, just about every county in New York has been sued, including us, for the child sex abuse cases. We have been served approximately 8 of those cases, lawsuits of against the county. Some of these cases, and I can't go into publicly the details of them, but some of these cases date back to, I think the first one dates back to 1958. And so the county's left to defend itself, 1958. I'm in the process of trying to find whether or not the county even had insurance covering those matters from 1958 to the 1980s. I think the most recent one was 2007. So I am left with the dilemma that I see Doreen has left, but it's going to impact insurance also. If we cannot find coverage for those insurance cases, one, I'm going to have to pay out of pocket for legal defense of these cases, and the county is, if we have a determination against us, or if there is some sort of settlement, the county is going to have to pay out of pocket for those. So those are going to be significant, very significant, coming in the 2022 budget year. I've also, as you will notice, I've also asked for a slight bump up in salaries for my attorneys. And I know we do this every year, but this is truly, and I'm speaking from the bottom of my heart, this is truly something that we do need in order to retain good attorneys. I've lost 4 attorneys alone this year to higher paying salaries. 4. And I feel like I'm constantly on a wheel interviewing people to come in here. And as soon as they hear what the salaries are, half of the time, the interest is gone. So I'm just trying to get just decent salary. I'm not asking for anything elaborate, anything significant, just a decent salaries to keep our attorneys. Otherwise, our budget, the rest of our budget is essentially more or less the same as they've been, as it's been over the past few years.
Okay, certainly challenging times. Any questions from any members in the committee? All right. Thank you very much. And
thank you very much.
We will reach out if we, as with all the other previous. We'll reach out if we have any further questions.
Thank you very much, Chairwoman Bartels and the rest of the committee.
Thank you, and thank you for your work.
No worries. Cheers.
Okay. All right. So that concludes our budget presentations for this meeting, and we'll move into resolutions to October tomorrow's session. Okay. Resolution, starting with resolution number 374, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 6 of 2021, a local law repealing local law number 2 of 2013, establishing the Ulster County School-Based Mental Health and Safety Act of 2021 to be held on Tuesday, November 16th, 2021 at 7 p.m.
I'll move it.
Second.
Legislator Ronk and seconded by Legislator Heppner. On the issue, I see Legislator Parity, the sponsor, has joined us. Thank you for being here. And Legislator Ronk, go ahead.
Thanks. I think that we should move forward with a public hearing on this. It's been introduced for quite some time now. I haven't heard from any of the superintendents. If they have concerns about it, they can voice them at the public hearing. If their concerns hold merit to us, we can change the law. And then due to the change in the rules that we passed this year, we don't need the second public hearing. So I'm ready to move forward. I'm not sure what the rest of the committee is at.
Legislator Heppner.
So I'll just ask to that point, Legislator Parity, Legislator Walter, during the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee, made some significant suggestions to the law regarding specifically the funding for anti-bullying programs, in which District Attorney Clegg backed up. I'm not sure if you've taken that more into consideration, or are you looking to go through now as is?
That was to me?
Yes.
Okay. My pieces aren't working right, or my ears aren't working right. So listen, I heard those, but if I could explain what my theory is on this whole thing. This is a blueprint. It's a blueprint, whether you're building a house or garage or a conference, to try to correct some real problems. When you have the blueprint, you go to the bank. You go to the bank, they give you a commitment letter. You're going to build the house or the garage. Things can change. And that's what to your question and comment. We don't know what they want in there. They may, as people negotiate and talk about moving forward, if in fact that's what everybody wants to do, they can add those things. We can't, it's an amorphous thing, but we can't bog down in it. And what can happen? There's several things that can happen. You can build a house, you can develop this program and the school districts and the county executive and the legislature think it's a real problem. I think it's a real problem. But what else can happen? They find there's too much difficulty, too many conflicting interests. They don't want to move forward. A lot like a bank. Yeah. Was that me?
No.
It's a lot like a bank. I mean, the health department can say, we won't give you a permit for your sewer system. That's the end of the building. Your partner or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend might move or die. So you call them and say, we're not going to go any further. So I heard everything, but to put it down in part of this legislation, I think is wrong. It could certainly be very much involved if and when they come up with a plan to try to address the school-based mental problems for awareness and to try to help some of these youngsters along the way get the treatment they need. I don't know if I answered it right, but I think this would be just the suggestions that came out are all good stuff, but they don't belong in the blueprint. In the blueprint, you get approval for something, They don't tell you what color the room should be or what type of furniture you should have or what kind of flooring you should be putting down. It's a blueprint to move forward.
Chair Boutelles, if I may.
You may, yeah.
So I understand, and again, John, you and I, Legislative Parity, you and I agree on the intent of this. But also, we're talking about a significant amount of money that's coming out of county sales tax, which I think some of the towns that we represent would be like, cowing, you know, would do anything they could to get a portion of that money. So I just want to make sure that the resolution or the local law that's being put forward is actually being targeted for the most productive and impactful reasons. You know, that's my one concern.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree. You know, I'm sitting here as a legislator. I represent my constituencies. Really, we represent all of Ulster County. The school board, the members of the school board and the superintendent represent the same constituency. We're all overlapping. And what may be now sort of in the youngster's life, a school problem can roll over later on and become our problem in public safety situations. But again, if I might just say that in the end, if it's too difficult to come to a realized point, I mean, everybody's going to have to contribute to this. And quite frankly, I think the problem is serious enough. I don't want to be frivolous about it, but if I have to pay it, I'll pay it.
Any other questions for the sponsor or any other comments in general? Legislator Roberts, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To Legislator Parity, out of the net sales tax, do you have a figure of the 2.75% that you'd be taking out, or we haven't got that far yet?
We haven't gotten that far yet.
We have, Legislator Roberts. It's in the packet. It's project. I mean, for the 2021 adopted budget, the annual contribution of not less than 2.75% would equal $3.315 million. Just as an example. So that would be the minimum that would be coming out of 2021. And there's a report that details 2018 to current, including the current year to date, which at this point would be 2.4 to 4 million, but projected at 3.315 for the full year.
Thank you.
May I just say though, once again, this even hasn't even been formulated yet.
But
we don't know where we are showing in this is we're committed to trying to address this epidemic. The school districts have to try to address this epidemic. The state has to work with us to address this epidemic. But if this moves on, we, the legislature of Ulster County, has said we recognize these problems. We have overlapping constituencies, and we want to move forward. We want to be a lighthouse district, a lighthouse county government, you know, the beacon of hope, not a beacon of despair.
So anyone else? Oh, go ahead, Legislator Gavaris.
This is a good question. So why tie it to the sales tax? Why have a percentage? If the issue is as dire as you believe, why not just have a dollar amount that isn't fluctuating year to year, subject to people's, you know, purchasing, you know, buying habits?
I can't answer that. I could be plucking things out of the air.
I just think, you know, set that, because it'd be hard to plan something out if you're going to develop a program and you don't actually know how much money every year you're going to really have. We can guess. It could be kind of hard to just, you know, plan for something that you don't know what will actually happen throughout the year. Just a thought.
I don't disagree with you, but there'll be smarter people than me if this occurs and they feel they have to move forward and try to address the problem. There'll be smarter people than I am to be able to work that out.
Does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so I'm going to just take a moment. I mean, one of the things, and this is kind of for you, Legislator Parity, that I'm confused about, and I definitely support the intent, and I've heard it described as an effort to put our money where our mouth is, which I think is accurate. And I think that's accurate. And I think that we should be investing in mental health services, including where there's overlap. And we know the need at the school level for sure. My challenge here is that, you know, when you speak about this being a plan that's yet to be, I may be confused as I read this. You know, this law directs the Commissioner of Finance to disperse not less than 2.75% of the sales tax revenue. So that's a firm statement. That's saying that he or she shall do not less than that amount, and that 50% of that funding is going to go to hiring additional staff, and the other 50%, I guess, then it goes for the purposes, including the variety of services that are enumerated in section 3. But really, it seems to me in the read that the programming, the blueprint that you're talking about, that's entirely left up to the schools without really an option for input. You know, unless I'm misreading it, and maybe you or the attorneys could let me know if I'm misunderstanding. It's my read of it is just it's saying we're going to commit this amount of money and we're going to distribute it to the schools, and the schools have to use 50% of what we give them for personnel. But in terms of the programmatic, it doesn't look like we have really any input into that at all.
I would disagree with that, but the attorneys, if in fact this moves forward, the attorneys can look at that. I don't agree with that. Everything takes time to have negotiations to determine how we partner with folks, maybe even what are their contributions in this. But all that stuff will be on the table.
But where does it provide, maybe it's a question for counsel, does it provide for that kind of input or that back and forth? I may be truly missing something, but I'm just, to me, this provides for the allocation of the funds and more than provides for, requires the allocation of the funds, unless I'm misunderstanding it. Yes, go ahead.
So the local law is set forth, as you correctly said, it does provide for the allocation of the funds, not less than 2.25% of the sales tax, as set forth in section 4.
But then how is it determined that the negotiation that Legislator Parity is talking about, where, and the determination of the programmatic, you know, cooperation, if that's what's happening, where is that provided for?
I mean, in theory, it does set forth the purpose of the funding under 3, so that you could infer that certain, you know, efforts would have to be undertaken to accommodate and to fulfill that mandate. So that would be 3A.
Under definite 3.
3A, where it says, for the purposes of the funding, the services may include counseling, conflict mediation, you know, so ancillary to those services, you'd have to really work together to fulfill that mandate.
Okay. I mean,
but that's an inference. I mean, it's not expressly provided for. And I'm just kind of, you know, reading contemporaneously here.
Okay. Legislator Gavaris.
So just actually what you're saying, that we think, you know, it, since there's inferred, as counsel said, and there's nothing precluding the school from using these funds to offset already in place programs or personnel, I think that is problematic in itself. If this is to enhance existing programs, then we should be saying that this cannot, money cannot be used to supplement existing programs or staffing. But I think they could, and council of course answer that, but it sounds like they would be able to skirt that, still staying within the way the law is written now, they would be compliant with it, and they would now have more money into their general fund of wherever they're calling it.
That's a good point. Has our health commissioner weighed in on this?
Everybody's gotten copies of it.
No,
schools, legislators.
Mark, you're shaking your head. No.
The commissioner of health and mental health has not weighed in on this.
Why is that?
I mean, until you all pass this to even go to public hearing, I mean, it seems a little far off to have the health commissioner really look at this and weigh in when we don't know what's even going to be passed. This has been up for months and no action has been taken. Once you vote to move it through, I can have her look at it and you know, be prepared for comments. But there's lots of legislation that gets to this stage that doesn't move past it. So
I just have to say that I find that very disappointing. And that's clear. That's through no fault of the sponsor, clearly, because it strikes me that waiting until something's passed to weigh in, waiting till a public hearing to have our own departments review. I mean, I just honestly have not heard of that. Anytime I've brought legislation forward, relevant department heads have been at the table. So no disrespect, but I mean, I'm frustrated for legislator parity that we've gotten to this point. And now it's almost like we have to have a public hearing to even hear from our own department head.
May I say something? You know, don't feel bad for me. I'm not frustrated. This is a very difficult issue. The what ifs can go on ad infinitum. We have to start to address it. I think we have an executive that's sensitive to this. Mm-hmm. In the past, we didn't. I think we have school districts. Yes, you could say, what if a school district doesn't have a problem in their jurisdiction? They don't want to participate. There's all sorts of what ifs. If this goes through, if it passes, have a public hearing, the executive and his staff think it's just a terrible idea, they'll veto it. I get that. You know, I'm not running around shilling anybody to vote for this. I think it's overdue. I think we have to address it. I think this is a rather pragmatic attempt to move forward. Is it something that they would do in Washington, D.C.? No, they probably have all sorts of attorneys reviewing it. But it's a problem. It's a problem. I can't run around and negotiate with every school district to see if they want to join in, because it hasn't even gotten that far yet. And I'm not going to be doing that anyway.
Any other comments? Go ahead, Legislator Heppner.
The chair to Legislator Parity, do you have any plans, or are you considering making the amendments that were put forth by Legislator Walter and backed up by the DA, in which you would feel comfortable postponing this a month?
Listen, the proposals that I heard Legislator Walter talk about bullying, I get that.
Well, it's more so the programmatic side of it.
Well,
versus, you know, the actual staffing side of it.
Say that again, John.
Yeah, of course. It was more about the funding that was guaranteed through it for programmatic stuff, and yeah, not as much so for actual staff resources.
Listen, to make it more legal and more palatable, we can do what we have to do. Just as 10 years ago, we recognized the problem, it's an epidemic now. may not be an epidemic by a dictionary like the COVID is, but it's an epidemic. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to amend right this minute anyway. To make it more palatable, just to get it through. This is not my life's objective. It's trying to address an incredibly serious problem where people are dying. And everywhere I go and everything I listen to, all the talk is about treatment. Treatment. This is sort of about prevention, to capture it, to identify it, and to work toward preventing youngsters in particular from having more difficult times in their life. So whatever your pleasure is, I wouldn't know what to amend to make it seem like we're not committed to spending the money, because if it doesn't happen, if the executive and the legislature and the school districts don't get together, it doesn't happen. Much as I said before, a blueprint to build a house. Anything can happen to prevent it, from legal to practical.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I'm going to be brief. I just want to point out that we're pretty much at a deadline now where if we don't send this to public hearing and we decide to move forward on it, you know, we're not going to have the time to pass it before Legislator Parody retires. So he wouldn't have the opportunity to vote on it. I just want to throw that out there as a possible reason to move it to public hearing. If anyone's on the fence there.
Would anyone else in the committee, does anyone else have any thoughts, and what's the pleasure of the committee?
Listen, thank you very much for your time. I do now have to go to work. I'll read about it tomorrow.
What legislator have here? Sorry.
Is that a motion or just a point of
view? There's a motion on the floor to move it forward. I've already expressed my willingness to move forward on it.
Can I just ask a question on procedure? So you mentioned that we no longer have to do a second public hearing, but what if out of the first public hearing comes a bunch of substantive changes? Would we then be required to do a public hearing again or not?
No. So now, however we amend a local law after public hearing, we can move forward on the local law. There is actually no requirement in county law that requires the legislature to hold any public hearings. We do them anyway. When you have a county executive, the only person who has to hold one is the county executive.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yep. And nothing would prohibit us if we chose, though, from holding a second if there were substantial changes and we wanted to bring, you know, the interested parties to the table or to have the legislature here. But
correct,
we were never by statute required to have that
second. And I would be fine moving forward as well.
You would be fine. Can you repeat that? Sorry.
I would be fine moving forward then with the public hearing then.
Okay. All right. So before we vote on it, I'll just say, it seems like we're moving forward on the public hearing, which I will support, but I do just want to be on the record saying that I continue to have questions, including some of these legal questions. I think Legislator Guevara raised a really good point. And I think that while this is being described as a blueprint, I would want to make sure that there's a little more fleshed out in it if we were to actually adopt it. But I'm willing to hear from the public, and also a commissioner, since this seems to be a trigger point for actually hearing from the commissioner. So on moving resolution 374 and setting a public hearing, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, Legislator Parody, you don't have to read about it. Well, he's gone. Okay, it passes unanimously.
He might not have heard it anyway.
I know, it's possible. Okay, moving on. Resolution number 376, authorizing the termination of a lease agreement with CPR Kingston LLC Bank for space used by the Board of Elections.
Make a motion to postpone.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion to postpone made by Legislator Gavaris, seconded by Legislator Ronk. On the motion, all those in favor of postponement?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 395, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2021, a local law amending the code of Ulster in relation to evictions, to be held on Tuesday, November 16th, 2021 at 7:05. Motion Ken, Legislator Ronk, seconded by Legislator Heppner. Before discussion, I'd like to state, I don't know the appropriate way to do this. I was advised as well as another member of the committee today that in anticipation or in preparation from here, until we hear, get a feedback from the ethics board on a possible recusal, that I should not participate in this discussion.
I guess turn the reins over to Kevin then, right?
I can do that. Is that the appropriate way to deal with it, Council?
Yes, unless there's going to be a procedural vote regarding a postponement.
So, yeah, that was what I was going to. We can participate in a procedural vote to take no action. We can not participate in taking no action. And the intent is to get a ruling from the ethics board before the next meeting and tell that to the committee. Legislator Roberts, if you want to call on Legislator Ronk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Any comments, any questions? Legislator Ronk.
I mean, to that end, I came here hoping for a postponement tonight. It's my understanding from my counsel, and I think also, legislative counsel. I'm not sure if you participated in that particular attorney's meeting, but it was my understanding that the county attorney had some concerns about the law and wanted to do some more research. If I'm remembering that correctly, Council Pascal?
Yeah, that's correct. And I may not have the most recent information. Speaking with Chris today, there apparently was a memo prepared that I'm not yet in receipt of, but Chris could possibly speak to that. That was drafted by the county attorney's office.
I mean, I would personally, with that knowledge that my attorney hasn't been privy to that memo yet, I make a motion that we postpone until next month.
Get a second on that, anybody? I'll second it.
Hey, Mark, Mr. Chairman, through you to one of the deputy county executives, did Nick's copy of that get lost in the mail?
I don't know that there's been a copy provided to any legislative council.
Okay.
That's
even better.
That's a new development to me. There is not necessarily a formal memo that I'm aware of. So that's a surprise.
Chair Bartels.
Thank you. And through the temporary chair to council, not on the merit of the discussion, but is it correct that a motion to postpone is a procedural motion that we're allowed to participate in because we're not speaking on the merit?
Yes. Yeah, you can make a vote on that.
Do you have a comment, Legislator Bartels?
No.
Anybody else weighing in on the postponement?
Legislator Heppner has his hand up, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't see everybody on my screen.
Yeah, and I'd like to speak after the majority leader, if possible.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Can I also get input from the council on the procedural actions? I know there's been a motion on the floor, but also for procedural action to take no action.
I think we're within, as far as timing, we're certainly within our time frame to take no action in committee. We can postpone it without any issue.
But what about putting forth the motion for no actions? I would have to follow Legislator Ronk.
You mean making a motion to take no action?
Yep.
I don't believe that's a proper motion. I mean, the act of taking no action would be taking no action.
Okay, well, I came into this just comment on the motion, if I may, would be to say that I came into this willing to move this forward for public hearing. But if it's the will of the committee, I will support postponement.
Legislator Ubertel.
Thank you. So just on a couple of topics, number one, you know, I appreciate whether tonight or in advance of the next meeting, this committee's willingness to move this forward to a public hearing, because I do think this is something, regardless of how you might feel about it or what further changes might be appropriate, I think this is something the public wants to weigh in on and has and deserves the right to weigh in on, deserves an opportunity to. On the question of something formal from the county executive's team, I don't know that we've asked for something formal. I, you know, have kind of pressed them on this a little bit and have gotten a bit of informal feedback and actually did incorporate that into some of the changes that we've made, but I don't think anything formal has been requested that I'm aware of. And I don't even know if that's something that we typically, I mean, we just went through this with the with resolution 374, where they were going to wait until a public hearing until they kind of formally take a, I don't know, a legal position, or I guess that was more of a position on policy. So that's my understanding of where we're at. On the question of, you know, this question of recusal, I would ask if possible, through the deputy chair to ask that our legislative council just explain what that potential recusal is, because I'm not sure. I did speak with Legislator Bartels earlier about it, but you know, it's an interesting question, and I would like to kind of understand that better or have that kind of on the record here in this meeting.
Council?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I always defer these ethics questions to the ethics board in general, but I'm happy to give my thought on it informally, of course. You know, I do not think that there is a direct conflict of interest, as I've advised several members of this committee. However, our ethics law also covers appearances of a conflict. And the question of whether the potential conflict stretches to an appearance of a conflict, I think, is one that is close enough to, in an abundance of caution, advise that those members do not enter a vote at this juncture, at least until we get a formal opinion from the ethics board.
Fair enough. Anybody else want to weigh in?
If I may, just a quick question to council regarding that. Is the language in the bill appearance of a conflict, or is it an appearance of a violation? Because I think the conflict standard should be material conflict. So is there actually language in the ethics law that says an appearance of a conflict is?
We have to avoid an appearance of a conflict. And that, I think, has actually come up a couple times previously. And again, I don't think it's a conflict, for the record, but I am not the ethics board, and I would really, you know, I always err on the side of caution in these matters, so.
Kevin, if I could.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that there has been no memo from the county attorney that's gone to council. I just checked in with him, so.
Fair enough. Anybody else? I see nobody else with their hands up. I take a vote on the postponement. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Postponement passes. I'll turn it back over to Chair Bartels.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Chair Roberts. Okay, so moving on, resolution number 434, which was confirming a reappointment of a member to the Ulster County Board of Ethics. I'd like to withdraw that resolution that's in consultation with co-sponsor Roberts after speaking with the executive's office. Moving on from there. Resolution number 436, condemning anti-Semitism in all forms, supporting the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, working definitions of anti-Semitism.
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Runk, seconded by Legislator Roberts. Any discussion on the resolution? Okay, all those in favor of resolution 436? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, resolution number 462, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 8 of 2021, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, chapter 304, solid waste, article 4, food waste prevention and recovery in relation to composting, to be held on Tuesday, November 16th, 2021 at 7:10 p.m. Moved by?
I was gonna make a motion to postpone this, but if we wanna talk about it first, that's fine. I'll make a motion for discussion.
Okay, move for discussion by Legislator Runk, seconded by?
I'll second.
Legislator Gavaris. Okay, and on the resolution, Legislator Runk.
Thanks. Is there anybody that wants to have discussion before I make a motion to postpone and we can talk about that? All right, then I'll just hold off my comments.
Well, are your comments related to the postponement or to the... Okay. All right. I mean, does anyone want to discuss resolution 462? I suppose we could have the conversation as a part of your motion to postpone.
We'll make a motion that we postpone this for a month until the next meeting.
Second.
Okay. So on the postponement, Legislator Runk.
Thanks. In consultation with my attorney while, discussing council's meeting, the county attorney's office, I do believe that they asked for time to look at this, on a couple of accounts, and Council Pascal can fill us in maybe a little bit better on any specifics if they're needed. But I think one of them was if it was necessary, and then there was another one about preemption, I think, unless I'm thinking about something different.
Yeah, no, I can say that the topic was discussed at the last council's meeting, and county attorney indicated they wanted to revisit a prior memo their office had put out either in 2018 or 2019 when this was first proposed, well prior to this amendment. It was a very brief discussion, and I haven't had any further conversation with the county attorney on that point. So I don't know if they've revisited it or continue to look at it.
Council Rigucci, go ahead.
Thank you. I would just add that I did speak to the county attorney today for quite some time, and he indicated that he is going to be reviewing a couple issues with respect to preemption. I articulated my position, which basically mirrors that of a prior legislative council's memo from, I think it was 2018, David Gordon. And he said he's going to review it and then he's going to get back to me, but he did not oppose the measure going to a public hearing at this juncture.
I can withdraw my with that knowledge now, I can withdraw my motion to postpone. I'll just vote no.
Okay. Legislator Roberts, will you withdraw your second?
I withdraw.
Thank you. So on the resolution, the memo, I believe, was in 19. Former Council Gordon wrote two memos. The more relevant one, I think, was later in 19, November 19. And I recall also very differing opinions on this subject. I can get those circulated again, but I'm comfortable with sending it to public hearing. But Legislator Runk, do you have a comment?
Thanks. Yeah, I just, to explain my no vote, I from the very beginning didn't find this local law in any of its former versions. This is at least the third time that we've amended this particular local law. I've never found it to be well thought out, hence, continually amending it. I think I probably voted for a couple of the other amendments to the law, but I'm over that. I'm I'm just going to be voting no from now on any further amendments to this law. It just, you know, any local law that you pass and then over a period of 3 or 4 years amend several times wasn't well thought out to begin with, in my opinion.
Any other comments? I'll say that while I did not, this wasn't a piece of legislation that I participated in directly throughout the process. There was a robust stakeholder process in the creation and drafting of this law. As I recall, at least one of the amendments had to do with pushing out the implementation date due to COVID as requested by the Department of the Environment, which I think was very understandable given what we were dealing with and the hopes of not burdening businesses that were already feeling tremendous burden through a global pandemic, which is obviously unforeseen. So I'm gonna respectfully disagree, Legislator Ronk, and I'm gonna support moving it forward, although especially hearing from council today that there's a level of comfort with the public hearing from county attorney's office and also with the confidence and the comfort in my personal agreement with the memo from previous council and knowing that our current council concurs with that. So before we call the vote, does anyone have any other comments? Okay, so on the resolution setting the public hearing, all those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. That passes. Opposition from Legislator Roberts and Legislator Roberts. Resolution number 478, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to sign an agreement with the town of Rochester in Ulster County for the use of polling equipment and material, Ulster County Board of Elections.
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Ronk, seconded by Legislator Heppner. On the resolution, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Oh, I got a question.
Absolutely, go ahead, Legislator.
How come we're having a special election a month after the general election?
I'm assuming they missed the deadline. But they're paying for it, so.
I believe Leader Roth is correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments? Okay, so we'll call the question on Resolution 478. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Now we're into the late resolutions. Resolution number 506, approving the execution of a contract for $750,000 entered into by the county, the Institute for Family Health, Department of Health. Moved by Legislator Ronk.
I'd like to move 506 and 507 as a block, unless there's a disagreement on one of them by somebody.
I'll second that.
Okay, second on the blocking of 506 and 507. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. So resolution. So on the blocked resolutions. We have a motion to on the table for the both. Legislator Heppner, did you want to speak on them?
No, I was just gonna vote yes.
Okay.
I'll just wait my turn.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So is there any discussion? Do we wanna hear any back? Everyone's gotten the background on these in caucuses, et cetera. Okay. So on resolution 506 and 507, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, and resolution 508, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the United States Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women, District Attorney's Office.
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Legislator Ronk, seconded by Legislator Heppner. It's my understanding that the district attorney could not be with us today, but we do have representation from his office. In the form of Attorney Mills and Attorney Del Pozo. Thank you very much for joining us. You want to give any background to this? Or does anyone have any questions? Seeing no questions, this is okay. Okay, All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you for being here in case we did have questions.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that gets us through the resolution portion of the agenda. I did put on the agenda, thank you, Clerk Mahler, the ethics and disclosure law. For those of us who've been around, recall that Legislator Ronk, now it's some time ago, brought forward proposed amendment, basically a redrafting of the law, which this committee worked substantially on and made significant amendments to that drafting. Clerk Mahler has been including it in the packet. I would like to propose that we have a special meeting to discuss this and ideally potentially to move it through. So Clerk Mahler will be reaching out to all of you to find a time in the near future in advance of our next meeting to have a meeting on this subject. And so I'd ask that if each of you could just refamiliarize yourself with the draft where it's at. And if you need any additional backup, if you're interested in any previous drafts, we have a giant file on it. So happy to share. I see the reaction. Happy to share any of the information that you need to get up to speed. But I for one, really look forward to the discussion with all of you. A substantial amount of work was done. And I think it's very good work. And I also just want to say on the record that I think it's very, very needed. So hopefully everyone can find the time and we'll make sure that we do find a time where everyone can be there on the committee. Is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss? Okay, any new business?
I move we adjourn.
Okay, moving to adjourn. Is there a second? All right, we don't even need a second, but here we go. All right, all those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
All right, aye. Thank you all. I can't believe we did it in time for 7 o'clock finish. All right.